Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our question and answer series, we finished with the question number 10. So listen as we end the week with question number 11.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
So let's go on to another question now. This says, Dear Dr. Bloom, I was able to find the index and use it for the series on Daniel on your church's website. I am thankful I have found your sermons. So far, I'm trying to listen with discernment because there are so many preachers and sermons that send out signals of danger in one way or another. I am writing with a detailed question, from which I hope you will know me to be closely examining the scripture and comparing it with what you say. By the way, that's what Acts 17:11 teaches. They were comparing what the Apostle Paul said with scripture, so I'm no better than the Apostle Paul, not even close to being as good as what he was. So again, that was the right thing to do. Now this one goes on to say, I checked in Luke 1:33, according to the Holy Spirit's part in forming a holy thing within Mary's womb. This is because I heard you say at minute 2:25 in the Nebuchadnezzar dream, part 1, Daniel series, that the Holy Spirit entered into Mary. However, because the phrasing in God's word, which signifies normal human conception, is, and Joseph, for example, knew his wife, and he went unto her, and she conceived, of course. Therefore, I think it may not be right, and even could give an occasion of charging God with an illicit deed that's quite out of character with his being, to say that the Holy Spirit entered into her. Luke 1:35, and the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. What do you think? I have read that God-haters and wicked people have cast evil shadows of accusations on the virgin birth, and that is why I write. Well, that's a long question for sure, but she gave good reasoning behind her question. So let me try to answer it this way as she gave it. This is the answer I wrote her. I said, Dear Mrs., and gave the name, thank you once again. Your question is a good one. It does need clarification. It also gives me an opportunity to address the issue of the virgin birth. The first passage in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Now, this verse is referring back to Psalms chapter 40, verses 6 through 8. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Now, if you read verses 8 and 9 in Hebrews chapter 10, we see the correlation with Psalm 40. There is a difference that I think needs to be noted. In Hebrews 10:5, it says, A body hast thou prepared me. In Psalm chapter 40, verse 6, it says, Mine ears hast thou opened. Now, why is that? On the surface, it seems quite different. Well, this is coming from the teaching in Exodus chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. It speaks of a servant who at the end of 6 years was to be released in the seventh year. This one loves his master and wants to stay. So they would bore an awl through the ear. He would now belong totally to the master. This permanent servitude was due to the fact that he married and had children under the 6 years that he served. If he leaves, the children and the wife stay with the master. However, if they bore the awl through the ear, that belongs to the master forever. That means he belongs, should I say, to the master forever. So that is where he will be from now on, with the master. He'll be a servant to him. But he has the joy of his family, and he has a good master, so it is well worth it. Well, before the foundation of the world, God knew his creation would sin. So he devised a plan to save them because God so loved the world. In Hebrews 10:5, a body hast thou prepared me. It's like the awl through the air in Psalm 40, verse 6. Mine ears hast thou opened. Now remember, God is a spirit. In John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What we have is three divine persons, that is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in one divine essence. Understand, Jesus existed throughout eternity past as the Son of God. Okay, as Son of God, he was always the Son through eternity past. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4 shows this when he says, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Or who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is the Son's name, if thou canst tell? Well, nearly 1,000 years before the birth of Christ in Bethlehem, here in Proverbs, he is identified as the Son of God, although it is before his birth. And he asked, what is his Son's name? Jesus is the heir of all things and his humanity. But he was always the Son of God, but he did not become the Son of Man until he was born in Bethlehem 1,000 years after this. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, he obtained the keys of hell and of death via his death, burial, and resurrection. Therefore, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 states, he is the heir of all things. That is speaking of his humanity. And because of that, we read in Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. So again, he is the heir of all things, and in him we are joint heirs of what he inherits. We are joint heirs with Christ, so the awl through the ear is symbolic of Jesus Christ, who has always existed in eternity past as a spirit. Voluntarily, he made the sacrifice for us by taking on a human body. And so, he not only left the glories of heaven, where he was highly exalted, where he was highly honored of the holy angels of God. I mean, he was highly exalted above all. Don't miss that. He was highly exalted. He was God come in the flesh. He was highly exalted, though, before he was God come in the flesh. But what happens? He comes, he humbles himself. And so, in humbling himself, he became a man. He was loved of his father, but he became a man by the will of his father. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, verse 9, God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What a great passage that is. Yet, we see that after the resurrection for us to remain a joint heir, then he must remain in a body throughout all eternity. Though he originally existed in eternity past as a spirit, he not only sacrificed all the glories of heaven, emptying himself of that to come to this earth to die for us, but he also would confine himself as the Son to a body throughout all eternity, that we might be joint heirs with him. So when he says, "A body hast thou prepared me," it is the idea that the Father, via his Holy Spirit, formed the body from the moment the Holy Ghost came upon Mary to the moment of birth. Hebrews 11:3 says this, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." The word "framed" is the same Greek word there that is translated "prepared." In chapter 10, verse 5, "A body hast thou prepared me." So God prepared every bit of the body of Jesus over the 9-month period inside of Mary. Now, as one thinks of the formation of the first Adam, we see he was not formed of normal processes. Rather, Adam was formed by the hand of God. The rest of humanity, you and me, everyone since Adam, is procreated. That is the normal process, a husband and wife knowing each other. This is why Jesus is called the last Adam in 1 Corinthians 15:22.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will